110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody. Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
And tonight's date is Thursday, May 11th, 2023. Pretty quick show tonight. We don't got a lot, too much to go over. We want to just quickly talk about the draft. A couple of the Buckeyes that were chosen, draft-wise this year. And then just finish up on the show on some of the transfer portal news, as we got a big commitment this weekend in the transfer portal. So that we'll be going over that stuff. But we wanted to start off the show this week, and probably going forward over the next several shows and throughout social media. As everybody knows, pretty much anybody who's been watching us for a while knows that John and I were Northeast Ohio guys. Football has been a big part of our lives, youth football, big part of our life. So we were reached out to from a representative from the Wadsworth Youth Football to talk about their annual scholarship dinner that is going to be coming up in July. And so looked at it, definitely looks like a great cause, and just wanted to say a few words about it. As we said, we're big supporters of, youth sports, especially, in Northeast Ohio. And I, obviously we're both products of lots of youth sports growing up. Mm-hmm. So, these are obviously, great causes. So, the dinner is going to be, and I will have the links and stuff in show notes, that you can go out to purchase tickets if you're interested, but it's the Wadsworth, annual scholarship dinner. And, it benefits it provides you scholarships to former youth football players and cheerleaders that came throughout their program. Basically, it's given back to high school seniors, is, obviously important to them. It's important to us. And the dinner is on July 14th. And this year's keynote speaker is Jerome Baker from, former Buckeye, Miami Dolphin. And they've had, I looked through some of the stuff that they had up in the past. They had Bernie Kosar before. They have had Trestle, Anthony Gonzalez, and others. So obviously, Browns, Buckeyes, different representatives, people that have played for the school, for Ohio State, and for the Browns, have been there at the dinner. So basically, it's going to be at Friday, July 14th, 2023. It's going to be at the Galaxy in Wadsworth, Ohio. Doors open at 5:45 p.m. Dinner's at 6:45 p.m. Majority proceeds benefit the scholarship for a graduating youth football alumni. And there will be an auction after the dinner. Kind of looking at some of the stuff that they've had in the past. I mean, right on their website, they show a Baker Mayfield jersey and an Eddie George jersey. So obviously, there's different memorabilia, they said different types of experiences that they auction off. So, obviously that sounds, pretty cool. Throw your name into something like that. You could win some, looks like some pretty cool prizes. $40 is the ticket price for the dinner. So that's pretty reasonable, I would say, for such a good benefit. And they also, on their website, if you are part of a company or other types of organizations, they do have different information about sponsors and sponsorships. So, like I said, we'll put the website up on the, on our show notes, which is www.WadsworthGrizzlyFootball.com. And when you actually go to the website, obviously you go up to the top where you see the menus, and there's drop down for fundraisers, and you can find the scholarship dinner there. but I will have a direct link to the scholarship dinner in the show notes. But like we said, very cool benefit. Just by reading through some of this stuff, seems like they've had some really cool guests over the years and some really cool prizes and for the auction, and it benefits a very good cause. And so something that we would definitely look forward to, you know, kind of help plug in and stuff to our, at least our audience, to, you know, get some buzz about it. Seems like it's pretty a popular event. They'd say the tickets normally do go pretty fast. So if you're interested with it, I would, you know, look it out, go to the website.
Get it and, today.
Buy those tickets. So yeah, definitely something. Hopefully they can sell out pretty quick and it will be a really good event. So, which is really cool.
Yep. Get your tickets today for sure.
Yep. Alrighty. Buckeye drafty. So, you know, obviously the last time we talked, it was about speculation where Buckeyes would get drafted and stuff. We have answers now. So, with all the craziness that was being thrown around CJ Stroud last week, a lot of that looked like to be pure smoke now, as Stroud was drafted number two to the Texans, which then came right back up and got their next need in Will Anderson drafting.
That's a good three. First round.
So that was thank God for, you know, the Browns, I guess, giving them all that draft capital to help them move another spot. So come back up into the draft. I think they came up from like 12. That's where the Browns would have been picking, or 11, something like that. So that's where they came up at to get that. So that was a good draft for them. But then Paris Johnson, which we kind of figured was going to be the second Buckeye, you know, and I said on last week's show, it seemed like Arizona was looking at him. Arizona didn't go with him. And then they traded back up, and they ended up getting him. I believe it was at six or seven.
Six.
Yeah. So he went second, and then Jackson Smith went third. I can't remember he was the first receiver taken.
Yeah.
When the receivers started finally going, which was weird. I mean, even though I know receivers, it's kind of funny. Like, receivers, you know, they've now are becoming, there's so many of them and there's so many good ones out there that I think their priority levels kind of fallen some over the couple of years. It's like everybody makes their runs for their quarterbacks, their linemen, their defensive linemen. And then they kind of, you know, when they start going. So he was the first one to go off the board. And then they kind of, you know, a bunch of right after that started going. And then I believe that was it until Zach Harrison. Am I correct on that one?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, JSN was number 20 to the Seahawks.
Yep. And then, so Zach Harrison, I believe, went in the fourth round, third round, somewhere in there. And then
probably third. He was the 75th pick.
Yeah, that's right. Right. So then Dwan Jones and Whipler goes next, or in the next, whatever, a few rounds, both go to the Browns, which I'm, you know, kind of start off with those guys, you know, just cause, you know, Browns bias with us. I like the picks. I think they both, I don't know how, you know, Whipler grades out at the end of the day as a center, but he could be an interior lineman. He's going to have experience. And I like the DeJuan pick. I mean, I've always been really bullish on DeJuan. I think if he keeps his head focused, he could be a good NFL player. And, you know, Callahan, you know, obviously in the NFL, you don't know how long coaching staffs will stay around for whatever, because obviously it's a big time business and coaching staffs get fired fairly quickly. And, you know, the Browns have a reputation that precede himself. So I think Callahan is going to be perfect for the two of them. If he stays there, if this staff is there for a few more years and stuff, I think Callahan is a great offensive line coach. I mean, he comes with tons of years of experience. He's always been well known in that, you know, arena as being a top level offensive line coach. So I think he's going to do wonders for both of them. And, you know, I think Dwan could be a big time steal in the draft. I think he could be, if he accepts the coaching that Callahan will get him. He loves run blocking. He's a powerful guy that likes to get out and hit people. You know, the Browns are going to run.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think he could be real beneficial there.
Well, the one thing about NFL linemen, though, is, you know, he's not going to have that opportunity to slack because he'll be out of the league then.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And he was drafted low enough that, you know, if you don't bring your A game, you know, they will go, they can go, they'll find a free agent that they can plug in there too. And, yeah, you know, for roughly the same amount of money, because I mean, that's the league.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless you're, you know, a first round pick, second round pick, but what, well, fourth round pick, he was fifth round, like they'll move on from him before he even sees the field his first year if he's not serious about it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So definitely has to stay buckled in. You know, I think he does a pretty good job with keeping his head focused, but he has lapses. So
yeah.
I
mean,
and the thing with the NFL, like we've said here, it's a business. And, you know, some of those lapses, they overlook those lapses when you're drafted very early in the draft. You know, they'll give you a couple breaks on the lapses. You know, you'll be lucky to get a second chance when you are taken later in the draft.
Yeah.
And I mean, you really have to do prove yourself on that stuff. You know, I was glad to see that they took him. You know, they could use the help in the trenches, the Browns. And I think he could bring both of them. But I'm really high on Dwan. I think they could bring a lot of potential to the Browns offensive line. You know, Whipler, I mean, we were kind of talking about this throughout the draft and stuff like that. And we questioned it heading into the draft. I mean, I think he should have stayed. I don't know who was giving him his information and stuff like that. Interior lineman, man, you got to be really careful. You know, those tackles, the tackles are very, very highly looked at mm-hmm. in the draft. So those are who go first. And then after that, it's kind of like, I mean, world-class centers and world-class guards, you know, sometimes they don't go until like the second, third, fourth round. You know, they're kind of similar to the wide receivers. There's a lot of them.
Yeah,
you right. know, is there a lot of difference between the first and second guy and the 10th guy? And I think that's how a lot of these NFL teams look at it, that, you know, any one of these guys, I mean, a lot of these guys are very good. And if you're not head and shoulders better than the rest, then, I mean, you're going to kind of fall to where, you know, that position is desperately needed by whatever team is picking it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I thought one more year could have helped him out. I don't know. Maybe it was just, he is what he is, you know? I mean, I think he could get better, but he wasn't bad. I mean, he had a good game against Jalen Carter. He did okay against Mozzie Smith. I mean, that was, he has rough spots against Michigan here and there, but I don't, maybe he's a little undersized. I don't know. Yeah. Excuse me. But yeah, I mean, I thought he should have stayed another year. I really did. I didn't think for like a center, like, I think I even like texted you about it. I mean, he was in his true third year, you know, he came in 2020. So for a center or a guard to leave after three true years as a true junior, you know, yeah. Like,
and one of those seasons is 2020.
Once that COVID
really year, like, yeah. Can you really count it as a season?
Like, you don't have to necessarily be generational at that position, but you gotta be like borderline, like a first round draft pick, you know, like you gotta be pretty special that you would want to leave after 3 years as an interior lineman. And one of them, like you said, is 2.5. And he wasn't even the starter then. I mean, that was Josh Myers started.
Yeah.
He only played a little bit. He did
and we
pretty poorly when he came in against Michigan State.
And we already know what we know what practices were like back then. I mean, yeah. It's no secret. I mean, we've talked a lot about the 2020 season on, you know, I mean, that's been brought up numerous times about residual effects, how I've affected different players, you know, even to this day, we've talked about it. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know why he thought it was needed to go, but who knows, baby.
But that's up to him. That's his decision. He got drafted. So best of luck.
Maybe he wasn't feeling Fry. And maybe he didn't want to transfer and just felt like he was ready to go. I mean, you know, maybe there's, you know, there could be a situation there where, you know, he needs money.
And, yeah.
You know, I mean, even where he's drafted, I mean, let's talk. I mean, it's not first round money, but it's more money than, you know, anybody listening, pretty much listening to this podcast makes in a year. So, I mean, it's.
Yeah, but he probably could have got more than that from a collective to stay at Ohio State.
Probably, but I mean,
but it's his decision. So I fault nobody for doing what they want, and he got drafted. So best of luck to him. And I'm a Browns fan, so you know it's.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
hopefully he does well, because now you know I got to judge him at the next level.
Yeah, I root for all Buckeye players at the next level, but I definitely root extra hard for the ones that play for the Browns because, you know, they're the ones that hopefully are going to bring that that elusive Super Bowl trophy, that Lombardi trophy to Cleveland. That one, it's always so close, right? That's just out of their grasp.
Right there. Just right there for the take. Mike, let's talk real quick before we move forward about Zach Harrison being the only defensive player taken for the Buckeyes. And I believe last year they only had one taken last year? Tyreek Smith. Was he still on the team? I can't remember,
but yeah, it's something like that.
Because Togiai has gone after 20. Like, yeah. Okay. So yeah. Yeah. Last year was only Tyreek Smith, I'm pretty sure.
You can say that there is some of the reasons why they've had some issues.
I mean, the Browns signed all their secondary guys.
Yeah. You're back. Okay. I think that you could argue that maybe that's why they've had some issues the last couple of years on defense, is maybe they don't have some of that higher end talent that they've had in years past. And you can kind of possibly see that on the field, but I did see a lot that I liked last year, and a lot of those kids are coming back. So, yeah, you know, that's a possibly good sign that, you know, there's, you know, there was things. I know a lot of people like to look at the Michigan game and the Georgia game, and that's how they're, but there was some positives earlier in the season. I think that the defense last year, even with the last two games, were better than the defense that they had the year before. So,
agreed.
I mean, that, I guess there's a silver lining with everything, but yeah, no, I understand what you're talking about. It's kind of, I think that's where you could probably align a lot of their defensive problems, that they just have not had the talent the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Where they should be, the talent where they should be at.
I'd imagine you're going to get a decent defensive haul this year, though. I mean, you got to imagine Sawyer. I mean, there's a good chance you could lose all four of those linemen. I mean, because they all flash, you know, like JTT is definitely special. Sawyer has flashed before. He's trying to figure out what he is. Of course, Tyreek and Mike Hall have both flashed also. So,
yeah. I mean, you're losing at least two linebackers.
Yeah.
You're losing
a lot in the secondary. I don't know how much is high end, but you're losing a lot in the secondary.
I could say you're losing. I mean,
Burke will be a high pick, I would think.
I mean, you could assume that if he has a good season this year, that you're losing Burke. I mean, that's just reputation for Ohio State secondary precedes them. And I think he'd be in a good position to be drafted pretty high.
I mean, and Hancock's going to be eligible. That doesn't mean he leaves, but because, you know, Burke does have that one really good year already on film.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot there to kind of look at. I was really thinking where Zach was going to go, because like there was parts of me that could make arguments that he would go where he went. But then there was also thoughts of me being like, You know, he could slide late. I mean, I always knew he was going to get drafted.
Like, yeah.
He was not going to fall to an undrafted player. But, like, there was parts of me that thought, like, he could be a six-round pick because he's just been – he's so up and down with a lot of his stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. When Zach Harrison's been at his best, I mean, the guy is a top 10 draft pick. Like, he is, like – he has flashed at different times.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That is the Zach Harrison, at least a top 20 draft pick that, you know, he could be a freak when he wants to be. And then there's other times where it's just like, and I don't want to say he doesn't take things off. I don't think he does. I don't think he's one of those types of players, but there's just times where he just didn't get the right oomph or whatever. And just was just a step slow and just could not get there to the quarterback.
He lacked a lot of that bend, you know, flexibility that the Bosas and Chase Young had. And I mean, he had all the skills and athletic traits that could help him, but at the end of the day, the production didn't match the athlete. So, and I understand people could say, you know, he's great at setting the edge. You know, he's good against the run. That's all good and well. I get that, but that's not a first round defensive end is the guy that sets the edge. You know, Johnson's your coach. You're expected that you're a sack machine to be a first round end.
Yeah. Like when you get drafted in the first round, especially high first round with as a defensive end. Yeah. It's good that Myles Garrett is really good against the run. It's really good that Nick Bosa is good against the run. Joey Bosa is pretty good against the run. But those guys didn't get drafted because, you know, they're good against the run.
No.
Yeah. If the run goes towards them, they can shut the run down. But, you know, they are drafted there because, you know, they're there to put the quarterback on his butt.
They're difference makers. You know, they're the guys that get off the field.
That's the guy you have there. You know, it's third and six. And, you know, it's an NFL quarterback on the other side of you. And he doesn't need a lot of time to get 6 yards. And that's the guy. You know, you're there to get to the quarterback and make sure that it's fourth down.
Right.
And so, yeah. So, yeah, that's the way you put it. I mean, he has a lot of great things about him. It's just, he just didn't have that extra step then, you know, and he was such a high draft or high recruit coming in that we kind of all expected, you know, he might be the next one, but you know, but it is what it is, I guess.
And hell, I mean, he can make an NFL career because he still has all that athletic freakiness about him. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think about like, and I know, and I'm not trying to judge him against Cam Hayward and stuff like that. You can make a long NFL career. And, you know, if you get good, you can put on the right team. You know, you can get to your third contract, your fourth contract and make good money. And, you know, there's always going to be, there's always, as long as you perform, there's always teams that are looking for Zach Harrison's and stuff to have on the team. So like, you got to prove yourself. And, you know, it's kind of like the same thing we said with Dwan earlier. It's like, you know, yeah, you could be, if you don't have your head in the game, you'll be out of the league real fast. But if your head is in the game, there are a ton of guys that have been drafted in those later picks that made great NFL careers for them. Were they Hall of Fame careers? No, but they made a lot of money doing, you know, being just guys, dependable guys that they could be plugged in, and they did their job. So, and you know, and that's the biggest thing for the NFL is that, with salary caps and like on all that stuff, you know, college football is kind of spoiled when, you know, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the world, they get to bring in 20 first round draft picks every year and then kind of see where they fall after that. You don't get that same luxury in the NFL. You know, you got a lot of guys that make top end money, and then you got a lot of guys that make league minimums, and the best GMs and coaches are the guys that know how to plug and play all those guys that make the league minimums or don't make, you know, make very low salaries and find them in the the correct spots. That's in reality, that's where championships are won in the NFL, is those guys, because that's who finishes out those teams.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So wish him the best though. He could have a very long career.
Just real quick. We'll just finish up with the draft stuff on Stroud. Just your thoughts. I mean, I think, it was kind of crazy, all the stuff that was getting thrown out there. But as we got closer and closer to draft on Thursday night, it just seemed like they were going to take him. And so I'm just like, all right. And like, I think I got a pretty good inkling. I think I was reading some stuff on Twitter and stuff from different experts around the league and stuff, different analysts, that it seemed like that's where he was going to end up going. And I think, probably around 6 o'clock, I would say I kind of felt pretty good. I know, I think you texted me earlier that it seemed like that, you know, he was probably going to go a little earlier than possibly they were talking about or whatever. But, you know, so it just kind of seems like a lot of people were throwing out a lot of garbage, and that stuff happens in the NFL. I mean, draft stuff gets kind of silly when names start getting thrown out there, you know, and then Levis ends up falling to the second round. So
I mean, anyone that would have drafted Will Levis over CJ Stroud, they should have immediately been fired from their position. Like, that was, I don't know. And the fact that McKay and Kuiper eat that crap up every year, you know, like,
yeah,
exactly. I mean, I felt bad for Will Levis a little bit. I mean, he should have never been put in that place anyways. That guy has never played like a first round talent. I know he might have the upside, but he's not a first round quarterback. And hell, he might have all the motivation now that could be, have a great, long, successful NFL career, but he did not deserve to be a top five draft pick. There's nothing on film. I mean, the best game he ever played was when he came in as a backup against Ohio State when Clifford got hurt. So yeah,
it seemed like the Texans were probably all in on Stroud, but they were probably like, I wonder if we could fleece somebody. Like, I bet it was them that it kind of seems like it probably was them like throwing, you know, cause it wouldn't benefit any other team besides them. I mean, essentially if you get the feeling that the Panthers are taking Bryce Young, and who knows, maybe in reality, what it was is that maybe the Texans really love CJ Stroud, but they were kind of nervous that, and they didn't like anybody else. So they were kind of nervous that, you know, maybe the Panthers were going to end up taking him. I mean, you don't know what some of that chatter is. And,
yeah,
you know, maybe the whole Levis thing was them just floating things out there that they were thinking about taking Levis instead of at two, to try to get somebody that really wanted him, you know, come up and give them more draft picks. I don't know. I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could have been Will Levis's agent for all we know. I mean, yeah. That stuff is,
I never saw it with him. So best of luck to Will. Hope he has a great career. CJ's just too, I mean, he's too good of a passer. You can't, and it's not like physically there's nothing wrong with him. You know, he can run if he needs to. I mean, I wouldn't say he's a great athlete by any stretch of the imagination, but
I wasn't home for the first couple picks. I was on the road, but I'm listening to CBS Radio's draft coverage. You know, I think I got home I got home for the third pick, right when Will Anderson got drafted. And the guy on the radio after Stroud got taken, he was okay with it. I mean, he liked the pick and stuff like that. I mean, he said some stuff about Ohio State's offense, which we're not going to get into tonight, but I think we should talk about it, as that's will be a kind of a good topic, as you know, we're kind of in the drolls of Buckeye summer before camp starts. So that will be a good topic for another show heading into camp, I think. But he was just like, well, you know, is he really a great athlete? You know, he only really showed it against the Georgia game. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, but he showed it, like, you know,
right. Yeah.
And he showed he could do it. Like, so,
and I'm not trying to like take that away from him, say he's not a, you know, a great athlete. Cause even then, I mean, it wasn't like the most impressive bootleg that he ran, but he did it. Oh. And he had that right in his mind. I mean, the last run was great. And it's so damn unfortunate that didn't, I mean, that there is no reason in this universe that should not have been the play to help them get to the national title game. I mean, that was just him taking off and running like 30 yards or whatever. It was amazing.
It's crazy. And I don't want to get on a big tangent because we wanted to get out of here quick tonight. And we still got to talk about the transfer portal. Just the last thought, like, you think about it. If they make that kick, and after we saw what Georgia did to TCU, so most likely I would say I'm pretty 99. I'll give it a 1% or, you know, I'm 99% confident Ohio State would have won the national championship if, you know, if they make that game. That could arguably run is kind of like the play of the playoffs. I mean, you think about
for sure.
I mean, when you think about like the stuff that like when they go back to 2014, you know, the stuff that they still show about Zeke and that run, a lot of it's against Alabama. You know, they beat Oregon. You know, I mean, there's a point there where they had to kind of put the foot back on the gas pedal in the third quarter, you know, going into the fourth quarter, but they beat Oregon handily. The Alabama game, that's where, you know, the big moments happened that propelled them to that game. And that was the big moment. So, I mean, you just think that would have went down for all the different discussions people would have had about CJ Stroud and different than on a Buckeye fandom, that was, if they would have made that kick, that was his play. That would have been cemented in history within the school that, you know, he put it all on his shoulders at the end of the day and put him in position to eventually go win a national championship. And it's just, unfortunately, the kick didn't hit.
Just by that much. No, I mean, it is what it is. All right. Transfer portal.
So we got, first guy, I keep on thinking, I can't, the first guy's name keeps on escaping me, the tackle, the offensive tackle. So
Josh Simmons from San Diego State. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. I knew that part. So obviously we've talked about offensive line a lot, transfer. We talked about this after the spring game that they needed to really kind of see what they could pull in the transfer portal. If they could still bring in another guy, I would not necessarily be against it. I won't lie on that one. But you know, we'll see. And who knows, maybe with the next guy we're going to talk about, maybe there's somebody on that defensive line that could be plugged in over there that, you know, is, I don't know who's all over there that might not get a look-see, but maybe they could be plugged in over on the offensive line.
Yeah. So Tywon Malone is your next one then.
Yeah. So I'm real pumped about this. I mean, 6'4", 300, you know, went to Ole Miss. He was 2 years ago, correct? It wasn't last year's class. It was two classes.
Yeah. He was a 21 kid. Yes.
Yeah. So Buckeyes were in with him for a minute there. Obviously the relationship that was built won this one over. So, you know, I think that's kind of, it's kind of important that, you know, kids that kind of fall out of favor with you. That's why building relationships is important and keeping bridges, because in the era of transfer portals, you know, you never know when a kid like this, especially if you're high on somebody, might come calling again in a year or two. And, you know, ended up getting him. So definitely a big dude, would like to really, I mean, we've been looking for a body like this, possibly a defensive tackle, for a while. So
yeah, and know, it adds a good depth too. Good depth.
Yeah, good depth. And if he ends up being a good player there, you know, and ends up in maybe a good rotation with Hall and, you know, Tyleek and stuff, that hey, maybe that's a door open to other Southern defensive tackles that, you know, hey, we can go play at Ohio State too. So, you know, it's always been like the ones that they seem like they miss out on. They're always there, but then, you know, it's just hard to get those kids out of the South. But, you know, maybe a door open there.
Right. All right. And then brother of Sonny, Lorenzo Styles.
Yeah.
Coming in from Notre Dame. Now, he was a wide receiver over at Notre Dame. It sounds like he's going to work out as a cornerback, though, which, again, depth piece that we need.
We definitely need the piece. Glad that he's here. You know, I think Lorenzo's I think he's a pretty good player. So we'll see what kind of added piece he can add over on the in the secondary. But like you just said, definitely we got some definitely good top end guys there, I think, but it's, you know, the depth is still not quite there yet. They brought in some younger guys, but you know, obviously those are unproven guys. So they have another experienced person that's at least been not necessarily maybe experienced at the position per se, but experience that he's been on, you know, a legitimate college football program now. And, you know, obviously has ties to Ohio State, is good for it would be good for them, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then real quick, just the ones that walked away, Caleb Brown finds himself over at Iowa. That I think that's a big loss for Ohio State, but you got so many wide receivers, so you know things are going to happen like that. Ben Christman, who is one I was just really surprised just how highly he was recruited and just where our line was coming into this year. I really thought he was going to make a move, and he just never did. Best of luck to him. He's going to Kentucky. And then Caleb Burton, another wide receiver, he's on his way to Auburn. So best of luck to all those guys. They'll do great.
Yeah. The one I was really surprised about there on where he ended up going was Burton. I figured he was going down south. I just figured he was going to end up at one of those Texas schools, whether it be Texas or A&M or even Tech, TCU. I figured it was going to be someone along those lines. So I was kind of surprised that it was Auburn that got him. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, like we've talked about in the past, we always knew there was going to be where some of these guys were going to slip out was going to be the receiver core. We both talked about it was going to probably be kids from last year's class just because, you know, or 2 years ago's class, you know, Marv and Abuka, you know, have made such, you know, big strides. And now, and then you got Fleming still there. You still got Ballard, you know, and then you got some, I mean, the class that they brought in this year, and Tate's already really starting to outshine a lot of these guys that, and if Ennis is the same when he comes in, I mean, it's just, it was going to be a very crowded room, and it seems like it was that class, the Brown Burton class, that was kind of on the outside looking in. And, you know, we'll see how the guys like Graves and stuff does, but you might lose another one or two from that class, you know, come fall.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to hit tonight?
No, nothing. I mean, nothing worth talking about. Stroud had an interview that people got a little, you know, up in arms about. I would just say calm down. I know he used the word disrespected or disrespectful, but I really feel like the whole gist of the interview was to show like how he deals with adversity that he overcame and that motivated him. But let's not get into that right now. I don't think people need to get so upset about that.
I mean, that said, he played last year and he played this year. So it's not like he left.
Right. Exactly. Like he didn't go running anywhere. So, you know, he said what he said. Don't be so protective of Ohio State. It's okay. He's allowed to have a feeling. You shouldn't give a damn what he felt.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Remember, we'll have the links in the show notes, but check out Wadsworth Grizzly Football.com. If you're interested about, you know, getting tickets for the scholarship dinner. Again, very good cause, and we will get on out of here with that.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys on the next one. Thank you for coming out tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.